Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Time to give out shovels. Ed Norris, who gets your shovel this morning?
A woman in New Jersey who gives us all a bad name in this country. She is exactly, I think, it's truly what's wrong with this country, where we sue everybody for everything. This is a 55-year-old New Jersey woman. She goes to I Play America in Freehold, New Jersey. She wants to get on the go-kart, right? The go-kart ride. She's told she does not meet the minimum height requirement. She starts arguing with them. Now she's holding up the line. So kids start yelling at her on the line, calling her a Karen and other names. So they keep calling her a Karen and, you know, B and all this other stuff. She's holding things up, making a scene. The manager has to come over and this and that. She wants to get on. She sues I Play America for being discriminated, for wrongfully preventing her from getting on the ride.
For keeping her safe.
For keeping her safe, even though there's a height requirement for a reason. So she sues them for that and for not preventing the kids from calling her a Karen. Court obviously dismissed the lawsuit on a last October. And then the state appellate court held the dismissal a few days ago. But Jesus.
She's not a Karen at all.
You're making the point for everybody. Yeah, exactly. She's not. You're just highlighting what's wrong with this country.
Joe, is that a Karen or a Linda?
Bitches about everything.
Is that a Karen or a Linda?
I'm not sure, hon.
That's messed up. Who's your shovel, Jeremy?
Ed, you're going to like this. My shovel goes to Rosedale Christian.
What?
I saw last night they were playing Bethesda University's women's team, and they started off 72-0 in the game.
We didn't have a game last night.
It had to be you guys. There's not another team that will run the score up 72-0.
Who really did it?
Bethesda University's women's team was coached by Julian Newman's dad. They gave up 72 points before they got their first basket because more than half of the team has the flu, to which I hope you'll agree with me on this. People are talking about
the whole team got the flu.
The whole team got the flu. Did you hear that? No, but like when you talk about the disparity in basketball from women starters to the back end of the bench in high school and college, the disparity in talent as opposed to men, I think losing half your, you're not going to see a men's team give up 72 points.
They don't see to me women's teams give up.
You're not, but that's what I'm saying. The whole team got
the
flu.
Who do they play? That matters.
Cal State Northridge.
Yeah. What are they, Division III?
No, they're Division I.
Oh, no, the other team.
A Bethesda?
Yeah.
I don't know what
division. Find out what division they are. We never heard of you.
They lost the previous game like 93-29, but they were only playing with four players. So it seems like they're actually worse with five people on the floor than four.
Where is she supposed to stand? But yeah, it was an ugly, ugly game. Thanks a lot. Rosedale Christian doesn't get it. They didn't play them.
I want to find out what division they are. So I'll look it up. My shovel goes to distracted drivers. I told you guys this story. I don't know, on air or off air. I'm on 695, and I'm over there by the Bel Air Road exit.
Mm-hmm.
And it must have been an accident in the far right lane. There's three lanes there. Far right lane, an accident. Police were there funneling everybody to the middle and left lane.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm stuck in traffic in the middle lane. 18-wheeler rolls up to my left.
No.
An 18-wheeler comes from behind. So he's had to see me unless he wasn't paying attention.
Yeah.
He starts getting closer to me and closer to me and closer to me. So I edged over a little bit to the left. Like, oh, closer to me, edged over a little bit. I lied to you not. There was less than 2 feet to my left or to my right to the two 18-wheelers. Yeah. I'm laying on a horn. I'm not a laying on a horn guy. Yeah. That's just not me. I'm laying on that horn. So I think the state police got out of the vehicle wondering, why is this dude, do you not see there's an accident? Why are you laying on a horn? Mm-hmm. He got out and looked over and like, oh, he realized why I was laying on a horn. He put his hand up, and I don't know what he was saying, but there was a lot of fire to what he was saying, pointing at the guy in the 18-wheeler. And then he pointed at me, well, you know, with both his hands, like, are you not seeing this?
Mm-hmm.
And if he hadn't gotten out of his vehicle, I would not be here today. Jeremy would be all right with that, but I would not be here today.
No, because then I'd have to drive the show. I don't want to do that. I want to sit over here. Hey, by the way, I can't deny, but I also can't confirm that it was Rosedale Christian. But Bethesda University does play Division One, but they play in the NCCAA.
Oh, National Christian College.
That's why I think it could have been you guys that did this to him.
So that's, can I tell you the difference between the NCAA and the NCCAA Division One?
Yeah, NCAA is good.
We could probably play against Bethesda Christian. Yeah.
By the way, that's not an exaggeration.
That's not exaggeration at all.
Are you saying Christians can't ball?
No, I'm just saying.
No, they can't rap.
Rosedale Christian. I mean, yeah, we can. Listen, we could play against them. St. Francis could play against them. Poly could play against them. Probably Western could play against them. St. Tim's could play. Pikesville could probably play against them.
But what you're missing is Rob has a bunch of D1 girls on his team, D2 girls, that could definitely compete with these cats.
And so do those other schools. That's what I'm saying.
You know what? I'll guarantee if Rob's team played Cal State Northridge or whoever the hell that was, they don't give up 72 points before they get a basket.
Neither do those other high schools I named. But put it this way. Joe, Pikesville High has more Division I basketball players on their high school roster than Bethesda.
It's Bethesda of California.
Bethesda of California.
Well, are they all just nuns? Like, I don't understand.
No, they're not nuns. It's just, it's a long story.
Well, you don't think nuns can hoop?
I thought they could. That's why.
They can fly.
And sing.
TV.
They did?
Yes.
That's cool.
And it's not a.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's.
Is that Sally Fields?
Yeah.
Field.
Jeremy Kahn's Daily Line at 9 o'clock, but on the other side, David Rubenstein said there are no financial barriers when it comes to building the roster. Do you believe him? What do you think the Orioles' payroll will be as a spring training? Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
8:16 in the a.m., Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Many questions were asked of the three men representing the Baltimore Orioles, owner David Rubenstein, general manager Mike Elias, new manager as well, Craig Albanaz, about the Baltimore Orioles and the state of the Orioles. Financial question was asked in terms of signability of other players and free agents, and this is what owner David Rubenstein had to say.
Well, there's no doubt that a lot of attention has been paid to that. We have the resources to acquire the players that we need to make the team work. So we don't have particular financial constraints. We have an investor group that's pretty deep-pocketed, and so we're able to do what we need to do. And so we will do that. Mike has a lot of authority to go out and find the best players that we can get. And, of course, it's not always the case that the highest payroll wins. Clearly, the last couple of years, that's probably been the case, but that's not always the case. And so we don't feel we need to break records by setting payroll records, but we think we want to get good players who want to be a part of an organization that really is very cohesive, part of helping to rebuild Baltimore. Baltimore itself is a very exciting place to live, and we're on the rebound. We think the organization is going to be much better next year because of the stadium is going to excite a lot of fans. We've got a lot of things going on in Baltimore, and so we are going to rely a lot on what Mike and his team can do with Craig, finding good players that want to be here and that can complement what we already have.
There you go. Your thoughts on that, Ed, does that give you some kind of security in terms of going after free agents?
Yeah. I mean, everything that was said gives me
confidence or a better feeling about the organization. Think about everything that was said. Just that in that clip, you know, going after better players, deep pockets. Is, you know, the ownership group has deep pockets. You know, the vote of confidence for the new manager by his former manager who flew here just for his, you know, his installation as the manager of the team. The things that were said about him. The owner saying that they're going to spend money. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I don't know what else people would want other than, you know, what they're going to say.
That gives you any kind of security?
I mean, I wasn't one of these people that didn't feel secure about this because, again, maybe I'm in the minority. I know people have these knee-jerk reactions of what happens in a season, and this is why the team's losing, and you can't say injuries. It's because of this. And all I know is they changed up a lot of things that people are complaining about. We had three hitting coaches. Now we got to figure out who is the hitting coach. You've got a new manager that everybody's talked about. And that's the thing. Like, this was, in my opinion, like, it's meeting the manager on this thing. Like, right. you're getting introduced to him and all the things that you heard about him. Like, the fact that Stephen Vogt showed up in the crowd to watch this happen should tell you enough about, you know, what he thinks of this guy. So, yeah, I get back to it. I never had any issues with it. I thought that this season was lost because of injuries primarily. And I definitely think all the core pieces are here. I do think they have some tough decisions to make on who they're going to trade because somebody's getting traded. It's going to happen because the all the free agents that you want aren't out there. They're just not. There's two closers out there. You need to find a closer. But are you going to get a long-term deal for a closer knowing that the Mountain might be back after next year?
Right.
I don't know. I mean, maybe he never pitches again. We just.
I think he'll pitch again. I just don't know at what level he'll pitch again. I don't know whether he'll be
dominant like he was.
Yeah, because you went from Tommy John surgery to shoulder reconstructive surgery. That's a lot.
Yeah.
That Tommy John is, would you agree, easier to recover from than shoulder?
100%. I said that when he got injured. And just because having two very serious shoulder injuries, I know how it's destroyed my body. It's different. Tommy John, people come back stronger many times. It's not a...
It's not a career death sentence.
Yeah, it's like shoulders are very sensitive because even hips are you're better with a hip injury because it's a real socket. Your shoulder is not a socket. It's like a golf tee. It rides on this little thing called your shoulder socket, which is really not correctly named. And once it's out or it's off or it, you know, comes dislocated or it's fractured, like mine was shattered like a plate. Thank you, Dr. Curl, for putting it back together. You're pretty damaged. And especially for pitching, where so much stress is put on your shoulder.
Especially the way he pitches.
The way he pitches, for sure.
We can rebuild him. We have the technology.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he did to Ed.
A RoboCop over here.
Yeah. So I believed before that, because he said it before. Rubenstein, if you remember, the first press conference he had, he said where this ownership group ranked in terms of financial assets, what they were able to do. He announced his presence with authority from day one financially. He came in saying that. Nobody wanted to believe it because here in Baltimore, we'd rather believe the worst than to believe the best. That's just how we are.
Yeah, 100%.
That's how we are, man. You know, I'll give you an example. The most nonsensical thing that our fans say, well, I don't like the Ravens being number one. I like them being, you know, the underdog and coming in, and you can't handle being the best. You can't. Somebody tells you they're going to spend a lot of money, you instantly think, no, they're lying to you. That's just how this city is. Mm-hmm.
It is, sadly.
It is, man. Yes. I mean, if he came in and told you, no, we don't have a lot of money. We got the money. We'll spend it. You just don't believe him because you are more inclined to believe the worst of people than the best of people.
Mm-hmm. So can I go back to last year when we talk about the offseason with Major League Baseball and my point? Like the best free agents, I'll just go down the list they had here. Juan Soto, you weren't going to be in on that one. Max Fried, not when he got 8 years and all the money he got. Pete Alonso was a one-year deal with the Mets, which a lot of people expected in return there. Corbin Burns, too much money, right? Mm-hmm. They talked about Willie Adames, Alex Bregman, so a shortstop and a third baseman, which you didn't need here. You could have retooled the infield. Maybe that's something you look at. Teoscar Hernandez re-signed with the Dodgers. He wasn't going anywhere. Blake Snell, Santander, and Christian Walker. You tell me where you were going with that group.
Yeah.
Like, which direction were they going in? Were they going to overpay for one of these guys? You had first baseman you're looking at. You want to see what Kobe Mayo is. You're not going after Pete Alonso. Mountcastle's still here. Now they have to look at this team a little bit different and say, okay, we have to make wholesale decisions on who's going to be the piece that we move. Everybody points to Kobe Mayo, and I think that makes sense just because of the prospects of him and knowing that you could get better at that position.
I think you're more inclined to look at Pete Alonso this year than you were last
Absolutely.
Year.
Absolutely. He makes a ton of sense for them because you need a right-handed power bat.
Yep.
The only difference I'd say is like with Kyle Tucker is that he hits lefty so well, don't look at him as just a left-handed hitter. He's all around. Treat him like you would treat Gunner in his approach at the plate against lefties and righties. In fact, Tucker hits lefties better.
Mike Bordick joins us at 8:45, but on the other side, we want to hear from you. Orioles owner David Rubenstein says there are no financial barriers with ownership. Do you believe him? What do you expect free agency to look like this year? Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. 8:31 in the a.m., Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. David Rubenstein, owner of the Baltimore Orioles, said the team has no financial barriers when it comes to building the roster. Do you believe him? What do you expect free agency to look like in the offseason now? 410-583-1057. Let's go out to Andre and Glenn Burney. What's up, Andre?
Hey, good morning, Rob. Hey,
good morning.
Jeremy.
What's up, man?
Good to speak to you once again.
You too.
I'm pretty optimistic about, you know, what the Orioles are going to do. I like to give folks a chance. I don't really want to sit there and listen to all the naysayers. That's why I appreciate the morning show, because I get a very balanced opinion, and you don't always go on your emotion or how you feel about a person or organization, but you try to gather the facts and then you go by that. You know, some of the other shows don't always do that, but I thank God for y'all, you three, because y'all bring a balance and you let us know if it's your opinion or not, but at the same time, you try to be fair, and that's what I'm trying to be. I'm trying to be fair, you know, with the ownership. And I'm a trust and hope that they do the right thing and just don't spend to be spending, but spend wisely.
I agree. Spend wisely because you can't afford to eat money at the back end of the contract.
I think that's exactly what Ruben said. That's what he said. He's like, look, we're going to spend. Like, we don't have a limit of what we can do, but we're also going to spend wisely because it's a business. Like, the one thing you can look at, and I think most teams do this, but the Mets were the one team where Steve Cohen's like, yeah, I'll just take my own money. I want a World Series. Mm-hmm. Yeah, here's $1 billion. Go ahead and take that.
Yeah.
He spent that in the offseason. So you're not going to see a lot of teams that are able to do that or that are willing to do that. There's probably about five. But it's nice to know that we have a team that would be willing to go a couple hundred million for a player.
Yeah. Eli Parkville. What's up, Eli?
Hey, good morning, fellas. I don't care what the first caller just said, but all I know is we need Kyle Tucker on this team. I don't know what they're going to do to make it happen. I don't care what they got to do to make it happen, but make it happen. Like, we need to see that man in the O's jersey. Too many times last year, the bats went cold, and I just think that if you got a switch hitter like him.
He's a plus defender. Yeah. He's a plus hitter. He's a plus everything. So the guy's so good. He's underrated that nobody talks about him in the upper echelon of players in this league.
I love Kyle Tucker. I do. I think he's an outstanding hitter. But Kyle Tucker went cold last year, too.
We had some injuries, too.
Yeah, I mean, that's what happens in baseball. Hitters go cold. That's why a great batting average is 300.
His big cold stretch was in the, I think, July into August, but it was also following injury where they were going, is he going to play through it? He tried to play through it. Mm-hmm. Because I remember playing Daily Fantasy and going to people like, hey, if you're going to play Kyle Tucker tonight, he's on this awful tear. He's in a great spot. You know that I talk about batter versus pitcher. Like, Kyle Tucker was facing a pitcher that he was like lifetime 600 hitter against.
Right.
And I'm going, yeah, but he's in an 0 for 30. Yeah, he went 3-for-4 with two bombs in that game. So
Marcus in Baltimore.
Marcus.
What's up, guys?
What's up?
Come on. Like, I mean, I believe him. I mean, I don't have another choice but not to believe him. Like, they're fresh here. Like, they just got here.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like EDC where if they say, like, yeah, I'm going to make a trade and give up some picks, you know he's not going to do that. Like, he's just blowing smoke. But, like, these guys, like, they just got here. Like, I don't have a choice but to believe what they're saying because it's still new. I still want to see it. Like, and I'm optimistic about the offseason. I would love for us to go after Pete Alonso, and I would absolutely love us to sign Dylan Cease. But, like I said, like, I think we have all the makings in this team. They don't need to make so many moves. But don't just like the other caller said, spend just to spend, just so you can appease the fans. Like, that's what I don't want us to do. But then you're going to get tied into a contract, and then this guy's not going to be what you thought he was. Like, I don't want us to do that. But I'm very, very optimistic, though.
Marcus, I will say this, though. Marcus, you still there? Marcus?
Yeah, I'm still here.
To Eric DaCosta's defense, he will never tell you he's going to give up draft picks.
Right. So, I'm sorry about that, Rob. I'm sorry.
Yeah, he'll never tell you that. Let's go to Corey in Baltimore. What's up, Corey?
What's happening, y'all? Let me just start by saying Colts made a good move yesterday. But I got a two-part question for you guys. I know the Orioles owe Chris Davis some back money. So I'm just wondering, does the ownership now, are they responsible for that back money?
Yes.
And what you guys think about them going after Paul Skenes?
Paul Skenes is going to take a ransom to get him right now. It's going to involve a Jackson Holiday type, involve maybe a
Sam Basayo
type or something like that. You're not getting them just.
It may involve both of them.
Yeah. That's number one. Number two, yes, when you buy a team, you inherit all the other bills. They inherited the bills.
They have to pay Davis $3.5 million per year from 2026 to 2032.
Yeah, so they have to pay that, the new ownership. I'm not selling a team and then paying the bills.
What a great job. Sit home and get $3.2 million every year. Damn.
Or just be Brian Kelly and get $56 million to go away.
Yeah. And these are people that weren't good at their jobs. All of them fell off. It's amazing.
Go to White Marsh and get Cliff. What's up, Cliff?
Hey, Rod. Hey, guys.
Hey.
That's all I can say after listening to the latest revelation about the Orioles owner. Poor Brandon Hyde. You know, last offseason, I honestly do believe that our general manager and our owner wanted to spend money. He made a huge pitch for Corbin Burnes. He knew, you know, way out of his pocket, not out of his pocketbook, but he wanted to make a big offer to him. But I honestly do believe last offseason, our general manager wanted to show him he's the smartest guy in the room. And he went out there and he said, "Nah, we don't need to spend money this year. We can do it with what we have." And you know what? That's just not sound baseball acumen there to me.
Okay, let me ask you this, Cliff. Cliff, okay, that's your opinion. You base that opinion, you build that opinion based on what? Who did he not sign?
Who did he not sign?
Yeah, you say he, if he wants to prove, if I want to prove I'm the smartest man in the room, I do that by not signing.
I just went over the top 10 free agents in the offseason that year.
Who should he have signed to not look like the smartest man in the room?
Well, I'm saying that he didn't want to sign anybody.
Who?
Well,
I mean, but you're saying he passed on someone to prove that he's smart. Who did he pass on?
Well, I'm just saying he didn't want to sign anybody. He told the owner that we can win this thing with what we have. And
he did not sign who? You're not. Ed, do you understand what I'm saying to you?
Of course I do. if you're going to say he didn't want to sign, but who did he pass on that someone else signed that
exactly.
You wanted?
It's okay to have an opinion, but there needs to be some
you
facts
behind
it.
You have to back based, up with something.
Based like, on who? What was out there?
You can't just say he didn't want to sign anybody. That's just an open, that's an incredibly broad statement.
Even though they signed Kittredge, they signed Tyler O'Neill, they signed Ramon Laureano, they signed other players. Yeah. They spent more money in the offseason this past year than they had in a long time, but again, that's
the Trevor
Rodgers
trade seems to have really worked out for both teams. Like,
how come the guys that hate Elias can't even admit that that was a good trade?
See, this what you just named. How many players he signed last offseason?
I mean, it was three or four that.
Okay,
I just
so he signed these guys. So who are you saying that he didn't sign? That he said, you know what? I don't need that guy because we're good. That's
you know
what I'm asking
is?
For.
It's that they paid Charlie Morton and he came in and you gave him $15 million to look like total ass. I mean, he was just cheeks until he wasn't. And then you're like, oh, God, he might be our best pitcher now. And then he even got something for him. Like, all the trades they made last year were for expiring contracts except for Ramon Laureano and even Kittredge. And guess what? They just got him back for cash. I mean, at least give the guy some credit when he does something right, because you're going to beat him up even when he's not doing something wrong. And the fact remains, go look at last year's free agents. Tell me who he should have went and got.
That's the question. That's the point. You got to.
Yeah, that's what I was asking.
Rob was asking. Exactly. And I'm sitting here waiting. Okay. Okay.
You know what this is?
You
got to
have something. And you could be. I could totally disagree with you, but if you present me a name, I'll say, well, I would pick someone else. I don't like that. But okay, I get it.
I think they missed out on Garrett Crochet. I don't know what the trade ask was for. Maybe they asked for two of your top guys. I don't know. But the other thing with this, too, that just drives me nuts when it comes down to looking at what someone's done in the offseason and what they're trying to bring to the table, you have to go back and look at what was there. Like, I argue with people all the time where they go, God, Matt Elam was a terrible pick for the Ravens. And I say, go look at that draft. That was a terrible draft. There weren't many good players after Matt Elam
was highly touted. was well thought of. It wasn't just the Ravens.
I think it turned out he was bipolar and undiagnosed.
Whatever. He may have been. He may have been a lot of things. But this goes back to the earliest
thing. What's wrong with being bipolar?
Nothing. We were talking about undiagnosed, too.
Yes.
Diagnosed. That's why I'm asking what's wrong.
If we go back to the earlier segment where the caller was saying, Max Crosby, I'd give him a first-round pick. That's not the asking price.
Yeah.
Look how much Quinnen Williams commanded. And Max Crosby's got way more Williams is a wonderful player. He's fantastic. But he's a middle of the defensive line pass rusher. He does collapse the pocket, but he'll give you six
sacks. Max Crosby.
He's not Max Crosby.
But again,
he's not. He's fantastic as an interior lineman.
Like, we just had callers, and I understand it. People are going to go, man, look at what the Dallas Cowboys got. Man, look at what the Colts got. Yeah, you guys are here for the party. They got to clean it up after it's done.
Yeah.
Because if it doesn't amount to another party at the end of the year in the Super Bowl,
you're
then
trouble.
What?
Brenda Freeze joins us tomorrow at 7:40 as the Terps, women Terps get ready to tip off for the 2025 season. But on the other side, Mike Bordick talks some baseball with the Orioles. See what he has to think about our new manager. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's talk some baseball. Courtesy of the Window Nation guest hotline from Baltimore Baseball Tonight and also part of the Be More Baseball podcast. He is former Orioles shortstop Mike Bordick. What's up, Mike?
Hey, good morning, Rob. How you doing, man?
Doing well. Doing well. Did you see the presser yesterday?
I did. I did.
Your thoughts on the new manager for the Baltimore Orioles, Craig Albernaz?
Yeah, I think the press conference was great. I love the fact that he's a New England guy, so he's already got some credibility as a guy that
can persevere. Here we go.
You know?
Here we go.
And he's got that great masshole accent so I don't know, man. He's a young guy. He's got some, pretty good backing, well-respected, it seems, in the industry. I think the fact that, Stephen Vogt came and supported him.
That was awesome.
Was huge. I think it was really good, man. And, it always is going to come down to a couple things. It seems like he's a great communicator. I've talked to some people that have been around him, great passion for the game, always eager to learn. So, I think he's got a great baseball feel too, because he was around some really good baseball guys. And I think the key for success is, as we all do, is just a nice combination of a good baseball feel. And then how he, of course, uses the analytics, but how he communicates with this young team is going to be critical. I think he's going to be fine in that regard, but it's also going to come down, does he have some support? And I think yesterday, Rubenstein said that, money is not a problem. So let's see, are they going to go out and put together the best team? Because it takes the best players to win.
You know what, Mike, I love insulting you, but I can't right now because I got to tip my hat to you, because you had one direction that you would prefer the Orioles to go. They did not go in that direction, but yet you still see how this could be a good hire for the organization.
Oh, no, no doubt about it. Hey, listen, I'm an old school guy. I think a lot of us are, but I accept, and so many of us do, the fact that, hey, the game's growing and it's growing, in a different direction, but you got to be able to work with this stuff. But the bottom line comes, give them all the information, everything. I think we all, as an athlete, young athlete, these guys want everything they can get, and then let them decipher. But you need leadership to help them decipher what's going to work for them and what's not. Because, sometimes things get cloudy with the numbers. So you need that good leadership, good veteran players that have kind of been through it to really help guide some of these young guys through. Now that said, though, Rob, there's one thing that I think is going to be really important that so many have missed here. I like the hire. What about the development of young players throughout the system? Because it's one thing to be a good leader at the big league level, and there's constant development going on at the big league level because of the turnover. But what about the young players in the minor leagues? That's what I'm interested in, because we saw this year so many young guys come up and really not know how to play the game very well. Uh-huh. So hopefully he's got his hand on that.
Yeah, I hope so. It's like, what do you think happens? I mean, there are guys out there, you know, that people discuss, but the infield seems pretty set. Any outfielders out there, because pitching is obvious, any outfielders out there you'd have your eye on if you were going to, you know, make some moves with this team?
Yeah, Tucker, yeah. I think from the Cubs is going to be the premier guy.
He's number one on everybody's list.
I would target him, absolutely. Some of the big bopper bats that we see always emerge, you know, in the postseason. You know, what George Springer did. And I know a lot of times you tend to steer away from the older guys because it's such a young game now. But, man, oh, man, do you need that experience? And you see how it kind of – the cream rises to the top, right? The guys that have been through it all, the experience really plays if you can keep them healthy. So I think that's going to be an important factor as well. There are big-name free agents out there. And if the Orioles do want to truly compete with – the Yankees and the Red Sox, as far as payroll, and let's see. Toronto Blue Jays. They are willing to spend like anybody. So they're going to have to spend, and they may even have to overpay for a couple guys. You know what I'm saying? Just to say, listen, we're real here. Look at us, please. Instead of using us to go to the Yankees or the Red Sox.
Well, I thought it was laughable at first, but don't forget the Blue Jays were in on Shohei Ohtani and Juan Soto. They were talking about both of them. They made a big push for Ohtani, but obviously that Dodger money finished everything off. Mike, as things go, like, what's the most important thing that you think the Orioles need to add in the offseason? And we know they need a full bullpen and a closer, a big-time bat in the middle of the lineup, a starting pitcher. Is there something that you feel like they have to go get?
Well, it's always going to come down to the pitching, you know, Jeremy. It really does. And I think not only do they have to go get, they have to keep going and getting, and they have to keep stockpiling. As we watch the postseason and we watch these teams, yeah, we can talk about payrolls all we want. But the fact of the matter is every organization truly gets tested from top to bottom. And do they have people like Trey Savage? You know what I'm saying? A guy in single A that all of a sudden made an impact in the World Series, pitched more games in the World Series than he did in the regular season. I mean, in the postseason. So, I mean, do the Orioles have that? Do they have that depth? And I think in some ways they may. There's some mystery to a lot of the guys they got at the deadline, you know, last year, the trade deadline. So there's mystery there. But there again, I'll go back to the development. They need ultimate depth, and they need these guys to be developed properly to follow, you know, with the philosophy that the Orioles' new manager has.
There is Mike Bordig. Mike, this is your last hit with us this 2025 baseball season, man. It's a pleasure.
What, our money run out?
Yeah, our money ran out. ATM kept my car. Yeah. Mike, tell us all about the podcast.
Yeah, well, I want to just say this. You guys can call anytime. You know, just because I play baseball doesn't, you know, or played baseball. I like all sports, and it's fun to talk sports. So that phone call is open at any time. And listen, the Be More Sports Pod, check it out. That's how you get to it on the podcast networks. And, you know, we're still going strong, and we've got a really cool guest today, a local legend, Adam Kolarik, pitched in the World Series second with the Dodgers, won a World Series ring, so he can give some insight on that great dynasty that the Dodgers have. And he also plays with the Orioles' new manager in the Rays system, so he's going to give some insight there. So excited about that conversation.
You hear that, Joe? Call Mike tomorrow at 6:02 in the a.m.
No, we're all up at 4. It's all right, nice to know that Mike's our friend, and we can call him anytime.
There you go. I mean, Jim Palmer does it. Mike, thanks a lot, my man.
Thanks, man.
All right, thank you, guys.
Damn, all right, buddy, 410-583-1057. That's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show. On the Fan, Andy Koska from Baltimore Banner joins us at 9:30. But on the other side, Jeremy Kahn, it's the Daily Line.
Yeah, last night, kissed my sister. 2-3 in my top plays, 2-1 in the others. I would say...
She's a good kisser, though.
Yeah, I taught her. I would say that looking at last night, again, a couple of tough losses, a couple of bad picks. We'll get into it. A lot of stuff tonight, though. We got NBA, full slate, college hoops, two college football games, and NHL. I'll talk about all of it next here on The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.